We're going to talk next to Stephen Sahyuni, we hope. We're working on it. He is in Syria. And we have been... Oh, yeah, there's Stephen. Hello? I thought I heard Stephen's voice. That's... it might be the weather effect.
Can you hear me?
Oh, I hear you, Stephen. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you doing, sir?
Well, you're very close to the microphone. Thank you very much. Stephen, you're the man to tell us. What is the situation? Is it true that there have been victories, important ones, scored by the Syrian army in the area of Latakia, for example? Could you tell us where the what you know of the developments in the war front?
Yes, the Syrian army and his allies on the ground, with support from the Russian Air Force, have advanced in the north suburbs of Latakia and took over the strategic town of Salma, that was the headquarters of the terrorist groups in the north suburbs of Latakia. It's in the hands of the army now, and the Syrian army is advancing. And now they are on the doors of the second biggest headquarters for the terrorists, and it's called Rabia. They might enter it tonight at dawn or tomorrow morning. Like in the next few days, it will have it. What happened in the last 24 hours that it looked like the Turkish got pissed off from the victories of the Syrian army, and they gathered thousands of terrorists from all over around the world, and they tried to push the Syrian army back. But thank God the Syrian army and his allies on the ground succeeded to push them back, and the Syrian army did not lose in the last 24 hours. Mm-hmm. Not one piece of land, not 1 meter. And it's really bad weather here. We're going through a storm, but that's not stopping the temperature. Up there, it's -2 and -3, but the soldiers of the Syrian army, the home defense, and the other allies are really working hard, and they're fighting to defend Latakia from the terrorists, supported by Turkey and the Gulf.
Now, there's a lot of press here about the town or the area called Medea. What can you tell us about that?
Medea is controlled by the terrorist groups that's supported by the Western countries as so-called moderate troubles. In last of September, the Red Crescent entered big amounts of food and medicine to the city of Medea and to the two cities of Kafraya and Fua, who are surrounded by the terrorist groups. But what happened, the food that came in the two cities of Kafraya and Fua, they went straight to the people. But the food and medicine that went into Medea, the city of Medea, was all stolen by the terrorist groups and never given nothing to the people. Mm-hmm. There is starving people in Medea. But why are they starving? Because the terrorist groups are stealing the food. The Syrian government and the Red Crescent are entering. And the head of the Red Crescent in Syria said this on an interview on Al Mayadeen TV channel. He said, there shouldn't be any starvation in Medea. We entered big amounts of food and medicine in the end of September, and they entered food and medicine not so long ago. What year is all that food going? It's being stolen by the terrorists. But what's happening, the Western media and the Gulf media, they want to make this into a sectarian thing, because the people, the soldiers on the ground, who are for Hezbollah and the Lebanese resistance and the other resistance, they're the ones they're fighting, and the Syrian army, they're the ones who are fighting against the terrorists inside. So they want to make it into like a Sunni Shiite thing, but it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Because look at the other side. You have Deir ez-Zor, the city of Deir ez-Zor. ISIS and so-called FSA have been surrounding it for the last 6 months. They're starving. The Syrian army are dropping food by the air, by the airplanes. And the Russians have been dropping food for them. The Freya and Fuha and Nipal and Zahra, those are four towns in the north of Latakia by Aleppo and Idlib. They've been surrounded by the terrorist groups for over 3 years and a half. Yeah. Those have starvation. Why the media are not talking about them? Just because those people.
But by the way, also the larger issue, why do we have an embargo on Syria? Yeah, it's very difficult even for the Syrian society to function and to have necessary supplies and medicine and food when the U.S. it has an embargo.
That's true. Per dollar on the Syrian currency, per dollar is 400 Syrian pounds. It used to be every dollar 45 Syrian pounds. So it's a big fault on the embargo on Syria.
Now, what about there are talks scheduled for the coming up, the 25th, I think, they're supposed to meet. Do you think some of the sensational ones, like the one about Medea, which the Western media is trying to turn into an anti-Assad thing, do you think this is related to an attempt to prevent the talks or to undermine them or weaken the government position of the Syrian government?
In my opinion, that there is a side trying really hard for this talks to not happen. But as we can see in the Middle East, the situation is going towards peace. We saw the big deal between the Americans and the Iranians. We've seen today, this morning, the negotiation between President Putin and the Prince of Qatar after Qatar and Russia have been in a bad situation politically with each other for over 5 years over Syria now. The negotiation have advanced between Russia and Qatar. Yesterday, the big deal between America and Iran has been done. So it looks like today in Lebanon also a big thing happened. A big deal happened about the presidency in Lebanon. It looks like the Middle East is going towards peace. It looks like the big players around the world, Russia and America, have made a deal to calm things down in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. That's what it looks like. So, and of course, all of that is going to have a big role on Syria, because Syria is the center of the Middle East. If Syria is not calm and Syria is not safe, the whole Middle East is not safe. Not the Gulf, not Iraq, not North Africa, nothing. The whole Middle East won't be safe.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was speaking to an earlier guest about the subject, and the U.S. had a plan, and they said that President Assad had to go, and they talked about regime change and all that. But what's your impression of the strategy seems to have run into a wall, and certainly the involvement of Russia is, I guess there's no other expression, it's somewhat of a game changer, isn't it? Do you get the impression that from where you're sitting, and you are in Syria, they are going to have to adjust to this setback, or are they going to try to come with a new plan for regime change?
The word regime change, it will not happen. Not if the American ones, okay? And not for the European or the Gulf one. As President Putin said, as the Syrian government said, that regime change, or let's say the change of the government, won't be done by the Syrian people, by our country of constitution. The Syrian people, they're the one who is going to choose. So you have a Syrian government, you have a Syrian constitution, you have a Syrian army, and you have the Syrian people backing all of that up. And you have good allies and loyal allies like Russia. So it looks like America's plan or America's game, or let's say, I'm not going to keep talking about America, the West, they're going to have to either change their plan and come close and sit on the same table with President Putin and make a deal that the Syrian people, they're the ones who are going to choose who runs and how they run their country, or we're going to stay in this, as the Americans say, in this fiasco for another few years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Stephen Sahuni, we're very grateful you took the time, and it's a very encouraging account. Did you want to say something further? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know if the Western media have heard of it, but the ISIS terrorist group have killed with cold blood 300 citizens, men and children and women, in the city of Deir ez-Zor, in the village of Al-Baghliya, and kidnapped 400, and their bodies were thrown in the river Al-Furat, and the river turned red because of their thing. It is one of the biggest and worst massacres that ever happened in this crisis. I don't know if the Western media are talking about this, but God bless their souls, and God bless the souls of everyone. And we just hear this year, we're asking the Canadian people, asking the Western people, pressure on your government, but to stop this war in Syria, because the Syrian people are people of peace.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very important statement. Stephen, thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Stephen Sahuni in Syria, Latakia, Syria. We're very glad we could talk to him, because he's asking about the Western media, and that's a good question. We probably ought to have some. We'll look into that, see if we can develop a media in the West. The last story referred to this ISIS killing of civilians, which they're the ones who announced it, is another illustration of it. He puts the question, and I'm glad he raised it, but you notice that actually any story, no matter how bad or ugly, about ISIS and about the armed groups opposing the Syrian government, this always becomes an excuse to bomb by Western states without any authority, without the invitation of the Syrian government, with coordination or acknowledgement that the Syrian government even exists. So what we need is to have a mental checkup of how we got into such a condition that we hear that a terrorist organization, mainly mercenaries, has killed Syrian civilians. And our answer to that situation is maybe we should bomb, but never coordinate anything or recognize Syria. And at the core of that is a policy that says that Assad must go, and ISIS can be played with, and we see the bloody results.